Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What are you talking about, Hal?
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Hal? 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 Hal?
If perchance you are unfamiliar with that dialogue, it's a clip from the movie 2001 Space Odyssey, made in 1968. The creepy voice belongs to supercomputer HAL 9000, which stood for Heuristic Algorithmic, but nobody had an explanation for the L. Legend has it that HAL is a stand-in for IBM, as each letter of HAL precedes IBM in the alphabet. People think that movie was the first to predict the dangers of artificial intelligence, but they are mistaken. It offered only a sliver, a narrow view, of what AI can really portend. There was an earlier movie, a far better one, that preceded Kubrick's by 12 years. That film foretold the big picture of where AI might take us. Not just back to the Stone Age, oh no, to oblivion.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry!
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 Surprisingly, the term artificial intelligence goes back a long way, at least to the 1950s. Some say much farther, that there was an automaton in Greek mythology. Talos was his name, and somehow he manifested AI. There's so much chatter about AI-generated art and stories and deepfakes and ChatGPT, the AI search engine that's supposed to kill Google, that AI will render writers and artists, including actors and, podcasters, superfluous. It probably will. For the masses who have become accustomed to consuming shit. Shit food, shit entertainment, shit drugs, and the shit ideas served up to them by shit politicians. The circle of shit. Those early adopters, the marketing mavens call them, who are first to embrace anything new simply because it is new, or sold as new. Now that we've been told AI will render human creativity obsolete, which is a gift from God, remember, God creates, man assembles. The next thing AI will replace is God. There was just a fascinating story online in The Sun, of all places, claiming that an AI god and priests are just around the corner. They overlook the far more likely advent of AI priestesses, especially ones that look hot and pointy. Maybe they'll dress as mini-skirted nuns and in clingy robes and such. Their digital churches will be filled to capacity, guaranteed. Church attendance has been declining for decades. So why would people seek out digital clergy? The Roman Catholic Church is reputedly exploring phone apps for confessions. Whoa, there's a rabbit hole, at the bottom of which is a hand grenade. Roman Catholic priests take a vow of secrecy. Whatever they hear in confession, arson, murder, improper pronoun usage, their silence is bound by the sacred seal of confession. Even if that violates the laws of the land, they are obligated to accept jail rather than reveal someone's sins to anyone, including, and especially, the state. There's a risk to the job few ever consider. They say old habits die hard, and that is absolutely correct. From age 6, I was marinated in Roman Catholic dogma. For a taste of what that was like, check out episode number 5, Larry Slugs a Nun. You'll find that in the January 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. It's one of the most downloaded episodes ever. There was Mass every Sunday without fail. No meat on Friday. I never got that one. Rumor had it that some pope dreamed up that rule to goose the fishing business in Italy. At school, they would plant you in church at least once a week. And that was okay with me. At least it was better than the classroom. The church had candles. And that incense the priest would wave around, that smelled good too. But the best thing about school day Mass was they'd invite the girls as well. Why was this a big deal? Because after second grade, classrooms were segregated by sex. We don't say gender here. But even in church, the nuns were concerned about impure thoughts. So they'd split the crowd down that center aisle, boys on one side, girls on the other. Still, it was a welcome treat. Even as a 7-year-old, I found girls utterly fascinating. Of course, you had to go to confession all the time, too, which was nutty. Kids would invent sins, but you didn't want to go too far and wind up with 1,000 Hail Marys penance or something. The confessed sins were vague, and I never understood what good that did. They were like rote shopping lists.
I cursed 8 times, stole stuff 7 times, cheated 6 times, lied 5 times.
Why didn't the priest demand details? Which curses exactly?
Well, Father, I said 4 fucks, 3 shits, and 1 asshole.
And the lies. They never wanted to know which lies. That I lied to Mom about eating 4 Almond Joys? Or to the cops about hot-wiring a Buick? As an adult, I knew this chick, Marianne. She was a pistol. She, too, had been raised hardcore Catholic. And as a woman in her early 20s, found herself in a confessional repeating the same vague sins she had since a little girl. As she reflexively said, I lied 5 times. The priest challenged her and asked her what was the nature of her lies. Her answer was epic.
Nothing. I never lie. I'm pure as the driven snow and I'm lying to you right now.
And then she bolted, never to return. She was one of those fantastic, sarcastic, acerbic New York chicks. It's the only place in the world they make them. Hope they still do. The motivator that kept people making confessions was the threat of hell. If you died with a mortal sin on your soul, which could be anything from masturbation to murder, you were hellbound for all eternity. Holy shit. By the time I got to high school, I decided I was done with church. Years later, when I found myself alone in Los Angeles, I had a very rough time for a while. Someone convinced me to get back in the church thing, including confession. Because if you took communion with all those sins crawling all over you, that would guarantee a collective mortal sin. So one Saturday afternoon, that's usually when most churches had confession, I dragged myself to the local parish. It had those wooden booths with red curtains on each side and a door in the middle where the priest sat behind a thick screen. There were little red and green lights at the top to tell you when to wait or enter. It was weird, really weird, to step into a dark cabinet and tell a stranger whose face you could not see just what an evil and wretched bastard you are. That was how it worked back then. I've heard that lately you can just sit on folding chairs opposite each other, sipping a latte and telling your sins. That would send me running for the dark, creepy cabinet. I've even heard of group confessions. Isn't that what an AA meeting is? Why hasn't someone created a confessional TV program, formatted like The Tonight Show? Some snarky priest sits behind the desk in his vestments, while the celebs tell him what awful shitbags they are. Then he throws it to the audience to decide what their penance should be.
Shove your Emmy up your ass.
But back to my confession. There were only two sinners in front of me, but as I waited, about another seven or eight arrived and were lined up behind me. The green light lit up, and finally it was my turn. I stepped behind the curtain, knelt on the pad. The little door slid open, and I could faintly see the priest's silhouette. I didn't have to struggle to recall the script. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was, about 22 years ago.
You're joking, he answered with a thick Irish brogue. Then he says, don't go anywhere.
He disappears. I hear his door pop open, and he tells the waiting sinners,
you all better move across the church to Father Ortega. I'm going to be a while with this guy.
You probably think I'm exaggerating for a joke here, but I swear, on my children, that's exactly what happened. I figured when I exited that confessional, they'd be staring at me like I was Charles Manson. Maybe they'd have a SWAT team waiting. It was insane. He was insane. But when I left the church and walked across Ventura Boulevard, I was confident that if I got flattened by a Cadillac, I'd wake up at the pearly gates. For quite some time, I attended that church fairly regularly, until one Sunday, a different Irish priest pissed me off so much, I reverted to being a Creaster Catholic. That, of course, is attending Mass only on the biggies, Christmas and Easter. During the guy's sermon, he referred to Cuba as
an allegedly communist country.
Well, that lit my fuse. As a kid growing up in New York, I knew several kids whose families fled Castro. The stories they told me about that commie bastard were horrible. And here's this chooch, who'd probably never even met a Cuban, talking bullshit. Later on, he demanded that everyone in the church pull out their cell phone and hold it up like a concert encore and pray as he blessed the phones that no one would use them
to tell lies or say bad things.
Incredibly, several hundred alleged adults obediently held up their devices. That was enough for me. But back to AI. There's no doubt that Arthur Clarke, who wrote 2001, was a visionary, even though he overestimated the pace of AI advances. We're not quite at the HAL stage yet, and it's more than two decades since 2001. But Clarke and sci-fi writers and futurists may have been looking at AI through the wrong lens, or maybe through the wrong end of the lens. It's always AI becoming sentient and running amok, Skynet and the Terminator, supercomputer HAL hijacking a spaceship, the Matrix using humanity as organic batteries. People will first and primarily use technology to serve their own basest needs. Few people ever think about space travel or quantum theory or super colliders or visitors from other galaxies. What most people think about is their own bellies. And if those are filled three times a day, then they are still thinking about themselves, their health, their money, or lack of it, their appearance, and their genitalia. The most hideously profitable, recession-proof businesses are those that serve people's basic needs. Drugs, recreational and therapeutic, cosmetics, porn, stuff that makes people feel good about themselves, or just feel better, even for a few minutes. So this notion that AI-generated art and video, deepfakes, and AI chat as a search engine are the next big things may be wrong. People are lonely. People want companionship. People want sex. And it cannot be long until AI will morph into what people really want. Friends and lovers. Imagine the infinite possibilities. it will probably put shrinks and porn actors out of business first. For a monthly subscription fee, you can pour out your heart to anybody you like, in this world or the next. And they won't just listen, they'll answer you back, comfort you, offer advice. They'll be there for you 24/7 for a price. They'll never get hungry or bored or pissed at you. They'll never need a bathroom break or a nap. And worst of all, they'll only tell you what you want to hear. Have you been missing a departed friend or relative? All you need are a few moments of video and audio recordings of them speaking, and presto, they'll be right on your screen. You can tell them the things you wish you had, and they'll answer you. Say that it's okay, no worries, I'm not mad, I love you. If you think TikTok, porn, and social media fuck up people's heads, you ain't seen nothing yet. This AI shit will warp minds like wet cardboard, and no amount of psychotropics or real therapy will straighten them out. For a premium fee, you can talk with or have sex with the movie star of your choice. People will start banking their own voices and images like they do sperm or eggs, just in case they die suddenly. Pre-recorded selfie eulogies have been around a long time. AI will eliminate that need. Soon, the dead can keep you company indefinitely, right on your cell phone. How creepy, how unnatural, and how perfect for the world we now live in, where people are encouraged to shoot the middle finger to the laws of nature, which are, in fact, God's laws. A sick world, where anybody can choose from dozens of genders, whatever those are, or pick one of their own invention. A world where psychotics insist that men can get pregnant, and other psychotics identify as various species. Canines, felines, reptiles, bovines, avian, even mythological creatures like mermaids. A world so colossally fucked up that eventually millions may welcome the singularity and voluntarily join the Matrix. Have a USB port embedded at the base of their skull, a feeding tube in the belly, and exist in a dark sensory deprivation tank, generating milliamps to power the machines in exchange for a struggle-free existence piped into your brain 24/7. Will that existence be much different for those who now define themselves by their digital presence and spend more of their lives in the cyber world than the real one? Maybe they'll sell the Matrix by tweaking that old U.S. Army slogan, "Be all you can be, digitally." A buffed-out surfing champ who gets all the chicks. A rock star. Center for the Lakers. Quarterback for the Patriots. Whatever it is. Schwarzenegger and Predator. Ripley and Alien. James Bond. Their pretend world can be your reality. And you'll never have to get up for work again, pay rent, or live through an election cycle. Hell of a deal. Just float in that tank of gel like a gestating fetus. In place of God, if you're hip, slick, and cool, you now believe in the universe. Which is pantheistic horseshit, not unlike George Lucas's Force, huh? The Force be with you? Which Force exactly, George? Hitler's SS? Mao's Red Guard? Stalin's NKVD? The FBI? Or dozens of other forces of criminal psychopaths? So now those who are just too advanced, too sophisticated to believe in a silly superstition like God, instead they petition an infinite vacuum. Yes, a fucking vacuum. With a temperature of 455 degrees below zero. But if you think positive, lovely thoughts, the universe will take care of you. So AI-generated gods and priests will probably more closely resembles some dumbass comic book come movie character, huh? Thor, Captain America, Thanos with his Wonder Woman bracelet of destruction. These idiots are incapable of a single, original thought. Originality used to be plentiful, as in the fantastic movie that most accurately sketched out an AI endgame far, far better than Kubrick's 2001, which was way overrated. That greatest AI predictive movie was Forbidden Planet, the Rosetta Stone of all sci-fi. Star Trek stole their costumes and weapons. Lost in Space stole their robot, and almost everyone since has missed its brilliant and prescient point. It was a narrative of men traveling at light speed to visit a planet where another human expedition had landed 20 years earlier. When they arrive, they find only two members of that expedition remain, the sinister and cerebral Dr. Morbius and his beautiful pointy daughter. Morbius reveals that 200,000 years before his arrival, the planet was inhabited by an advanced race of beings who built the ultimate AI machine. It was 20 square miles in size, powered by 9,200 nuclear reactors and self-maintaining. It was so powerful, it could transform thought into matter instantly. Anything imagined, food, clothing, shelter of the highest quality, was anyone's, not for the asking, but for the mere thinking. Since intention became action, they soon annihilated one another, courtesy of their god machine. It was a cautionary tale of ultimate power corrupting, ultimately. The unenlightened never learn their lesson. From the golden calf to the self-worship of humanism and statism, it never ends well. The ignorant do not know history. The evil work to conceal and rewrite it. Those trendy fools who clamor for something new eventually discover that there is nothing really new. It's all been done before. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the homepage at thatlarryshow.com for more content and commentary. If you enjoyed what you just heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and help support the show. If that's not in your budget, then post about it on your social media, email a link to friends, leave a 5-star review wherever you download. It all helps and it's all appreciated. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I get quite a bit of email, so I don't always answer immediately, but I do always answer. My friends, remember this. AI is not only man-made, it's made by committee. So at its best, it won't be great. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.